We can only imagine, y'all, that's all. We can only imagine being in the presence of a holy God. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Let's have a word of prayer. Bow your heads at this time. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we are just so grateful. We got extreme gratitude for your grace and your mercy on us today. And that's all we can do is imagine being in your presence, Lord God. But we are grateful that you have chosen us for this day, and you have given us the breath of life on today, and you have given us your grace entire week to bring us to this place and time. Father, we lift up in prayer all of those who are in need of prayer. We're standing in the gap. We're interceding one for another here at Blessed Hope Bible Church. Father, we thank you for any visitors that they might have come to worship with us today. We ask that you give them your grace as well. We thank you today, and we love you today. I pray this prayer in the precious name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And let every heart say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. But welcome once again to any visitors that we might have. Thank God that you come to worship with us on today. I want to mention our website, that if you want to know more about our church, Blessed Hope Bible Church, our website is www.bhbcstl.org. Let me say that again, www.bhbcstl.org. Amen? And you can find out all you need to know about Blessed Hope Bible Church on that wonderful website. Our theme is, it's not up on the screen yet. There it is. Our theme is that we're learning, we're loving, we're leaning, we're living, and we're leading by the Word of God. Amen? Amen. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. I have a scripture for you this morning. And it comes from the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And it reads, "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? It's no good. Can you make it salty again? It would be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthlessness." Verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." And verse 15 says, "No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket." Of course not. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16 says, "In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Let us give God a hand praise for his precious word. Amen. The name of today's sermon, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is light in a dark world. You know, you and I live in a dark world, and we are reminded every day. That's all we have to do is turn on the news, and we are often reminded that this world is awful dark. It's dark because of its sinful state. Well, it's dark because of the wicked acts of mankind and their wicked hearts. We're reminded of that daily too. And it is dark and broken because of today's society has embraced ungodly things, and they're trying to ram it down the throats of Christians. But I'm here to tell you today, Christians, that God has put us here for a purpose, and it is not to bow down to this earthly world that doing unrighteous things, but we ought to be an influence in this world today. Amen. when Jesus Christ himself was here in his world. The world was dark then, and it's dark now. But boy, when he returns, all I have to say is, you better belong to him when he comes back. But I have a question. How can we Christians of today influence this dark world? I'm going to share with you three principles that can show us how we can be an influence to this dark world, because it's up to us to be an influence to this dark world. Y'all believe that as Christians? Amen. Principle number one, I love walk. Matthew 22, 37 and 38. Now, this is actually a command other than a principle. There's principles and there are commands, but if you disobey either one, you could be in serious trouble. But this is actually a reply that Jesus replied to the scribes and Pharisees, this particular scripture. They was trying to trick him as usual. And they asked him, Jesus, what's the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Not knowing that he was there, he given the command. Of course he knew, because Jesus is God. But he just replied to him, he said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Our love for God shows our influence of this world, how we worship him on a daily basis, how we come into the sanctuary, and how we lift up our voices in praise, and how we just love him for who he is. Now, I'm a living testimony, y'all. Yeah, I know I am. Because I was literally dying a couple of years ago, and he didn't let me die. He let me live. You talk about loving God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. I'm telling you, I do. Because trust me, I know how it is to need an awesome God that only he can help you and save you from death. And I'm sure everyone in here had experienced it sometime in their life, something that God has done just so awesome that they don't even believe. But nevertheless, your soul and your heart and all your mind, that's deep. But see, showing that on a daily basis to this world gives an awesome positive influence to this world, our love for God. To love one another is another one. It's another way to express our gratitude and love to this dark world. God commands us to love one another. And we can influence this dark world by loving one another sincerely, with a pure heart. And it's important that we love out of a pure heart and a sincere heart, because I'm going to tell you, this world is watching. And it's watching closely. And the world could spot a corner of Christian a mile away. Because you know why? Because there ain't no difference between the two. They're the same. If you're a corner of Christian, you might as well go kick it with the world. Because you just like them. You can't live in carnality and call yourself a child of God. I'm sorry, it don't work that way. Either you're a child of God or you're not. Amen. And check this out, our love walk should start at home. Y'all know that? Amen. You know, if you want to influence the world, we have to influence it on all fronts. In the home, in your church, in your communities, schools. Everywhere you step foot, you have to be an influence to this dark world, because they're watching, especially us Christians. They're ready to call us hypocrites. But it starts at home, because I'm telling you, because if your love walk is greater outside of your home than it is in your own home around your loved ones, something is seriously wrong. Seriously wrong. Christian husbands, if you honor and respect other women more than you do your own wife, you need to go see a psychiatrist. Likewise, women, If you respect and honor other men more than your husband, you need to be in a mental institution. Because something is seriously wrong with you. I know it sounds funny, but see, that's serious. Because either you're going to live for God or you're not. And God commands us to do that toward one another. Because see, it's just as simple. Our talk should match our walk. It's just that simple. If you ain't talking the way you're walking, something's wrong with that picture. Amen. That's principle number one. We have to, on all fronts, be a light to this dark world. Everywhere we go, because the world is watching. I'm not going to be before you long, but I promise to give you what God has given me. Amen. Principle number two, our spirit walk. It influences this world as well. And the scripture I got is Galatians 5:16. And it says, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, what Paul is saying here is to allow the spirit to govern our lives, to lead our lives. He's talking to Christians, assuming that they have the spirit. If you don't have the spirit, then you can't be led by the spirit. But Paul is talking to Christians, and we're all Christians here. But we have the spirit of the living God in us. Amen? Amen. It dwells in us. So if we allow the spirit to lead our lives on a daily basis, the world can see how the Spirit allows us to live holy and righteous in this world. And walking in the Spirit is a choice. Just like getting in the flesh is a choice as well. See, when we become born again, we come to a global warfare. And everything is a choice. At that point in time, your life is made up of the choices that you choose, whether you choose to obey God or somebody else. You choose to do that. We choose to do that. We choose to walk in the Spirit. But when we choose to walk in the Spirit, that influences this dark world. Because this dark world don't have a clue what it is about walking in the Spirit. It's a choice, without a shadow of a doubt. See, Christians, we are not Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Either you're a Christian or you're not. We don't have an on and off switch. I want to be holy, not holy. Holy, not holy. It don't work that way. Either you're a Christian or you're not. And being in the flesh is a horrible thing. The Bible says in the flesh there's no good thing. The flesh manifests itself. Have you ever looked in a mirror when you're in the flesh? It's the ugliest thing you can ever see, opposed to how you look when you're in a spirit. When you're walking in the spirit and have a godly attitude, you look just as wonderful and nice, but you keep being in the flesh and look in the mirror and see how ugly that flesh is, how it manifests itself physically. It really does. There's no good thing in the flesh, period. We choose who we want to obey. Amen? Choosing to be led by the Spirit will influence this dark world. Because if they don't see godliness and holiness, they don't have a clue. And to tell you the truth, we're their only hope. Christians, we're this world's only hope. And that's just the fact of the matter. And Paul also lists the works of the flesh. And he explains the work of the flesh in Galatians 5:19-21. Verse 19 said, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, verse 20, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, Verse 21, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, Paul is telling the church in Galatia, just as I also told you in the time past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is some deadly stuff. To the Christian, that is about as deadly as they come. The works of the flesh. So how many know we don't want to ever want to be caught up in the works of the flesh? Amen. Give God a hand praise for his spirit that we have to combat. To combat the flesh. See, we are blessed because we do have the spirit of the living God that dwells in us, and we do have, that's our mechanism, our combat for the flesh. The world, on the other hand, is on its own. They have no choice. They don't have no other option but to be in the flesh. But we as Christians, we're the light of the world. That's only because the spirit of the living God dwells in us. And we love the Lord today, don't we? Because he called all the shots in our lives. He determines whether we live or die on a daily basis. Tell your neighbor, say, I love the Lord. Because he heard my cry. Amen, amen, amen. But this is about as serious as it comes. When we're talking about being the light of the world, when we're talking about being an influence to this dark world, because as I indicated before, it's us or nothing. Because Jesus came, he did his work here on this earth, and he walked, and he showed us the way, and he left. And until he returns, we as Christians, his people, have to carry on where he left off and be the light of the world. And it's serious business. But he has equipped us to do that. He's equipped us to do just that. The third and final principle is our service to the Lord. Our service influences this dark world. Amen? Amen. And a scripture I have is Ephesians 8. And it reads, for by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9 says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Tell your neighbor, say, we can't brag about Jack. Not one thing. Can't brag about nothing. I'm sorry. I don't care what you think you have, what you have obtained in life, how smart you are. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how much anything you got. You can't brag about it. Trust me, you can't. You got it all because of the grace of God. You can't brag about nothing. You can't brag about walking out this sanctuary healthy. Can't brag about nothing. But I want to focus on verse 10. And it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Workmanship. We his masterpiece, y'all. He created us to put in work. He created us for this purpose. We his workmanship, his masterpiece. We ain't here for nothing. Tell your neighbor, say, we ain't here for decorations. We here to put in work. He created us to put in work. Amen? And as far as being salt and light to this world, God created us in his own image and likeness. And he formed us. We're his masterpiece to do just that, to come into this world and be a light and salt to this dying, sinful world. And as I stated before, we are the world's only hope. If they can't see light shining in us, then they really don't have no other hope, no other option. It's the saints that have to be a light to this dark world. Amen? Amen. And it is as serious as it's come, because if, number one, the stakes are so high for Christians. This ain't a small thing, being sight, salt and light. Not a small thing at all, because the stakes are extremely high. And Jesus had the same influence on this world when he was here. His love for God. He loved the Father. He did everything what the Father said. Everything. His love for the people. He loved his people. He cried when people died. Lazarus, remember? He wept. He had compassion for God's people like we should as Christians. And he did the work of the Father. Every single thing that Jesus did here on this earth was on the thoughts of the Almighty God, was on the mind of God. Every work that Jesus did on this earth, God was thinking about. So everything that we should do, Jesus was the trailblazer. He did it already. And it's in the scriptures for us to follow. Everything I just mentioned from 1, 2, and 3, Jesus did himself. Saints, today we are chosen to continue what Jesus started in terms of being light and salt. And although this world is not our home, they say we're just passing through it, and we are. It's not our home. Not by no means. It ain't our home at all. But our responsibility as Christians is to be salt and light to this dark world. It's just that simple. And like I said before, the stakes are high. Really high. Because you know why? Because we'll be judged in the end. We'll be judged. And we only have one crack at life. I always say this, because that's all we got. One shot to do whatever it is we're called to do here on this earth. And I know one thing, according to the scriptures, we're called to be salt and light to this dark world. And we only got one crack at it. And when it's all said and done, we want to hear good. We want to hear well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen? That's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear, depart from me. I never knew you. Get away from me. I don't care what you've done. I ain't know you. I knew your heart, but I didn't know you. But that's what we want to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I told y'all I wasn't going to be before you long. That's what God has given me. May God bless you, and may God keep you. Let's give God another hand praise.